Close this evening and turn to Revelation chapter 13. We're in the book of Revelation. And we did the first half of the chapter. There are two beasts. One comes up out of the sea, and one comes up out of the earth. The first beast is the Antichrist. Now, the second beast is a false prophet. He is not mentioned immediately, but he will be mentioned as we go through the scripture. Again, the first beast, Antichrist, rises up out of the sea. The second beast, the false prophet. Let's look at Revelation chapter 13, starting at verse 11. And I beheld another beast. It's an interesting word. Coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. But I'm here to tell you, he is not a lamb. He is like a lamb, but he is not a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. You can tell a lot about a person by the way they speak, how they address you. So he has the appearance of a lamb, but he has the demeanor of a dragon. One of those people that you encounter at work. To your face, they are just sweet and loving, but boy, don't turn your back on them because they stab you two times before you could turn around. And he exercises all the power of the first beast, so he's powerful. Remember last week, the first beast was empowered by Satan, and this second beast, the false prophet, is going to be likewise empowered by Satan. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causeth, an interesting word. This is going to be forced worship. He causes, he makes it to happen. And just interesting because you and I meet a lot of people on a daily basis and say, you know, I'm not going to go to church and nobody's going to make me. Yes, they will. You'll go to church. You'll do what they say. You'll worship the way they tell you to worship, or you will die. So there'll be worship that is going on. And it's a false worship, a false Christ, false church. causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. You don't like the Antichrist as a preacher? Just too bad. He's the one in charge, and you are going to be forced to worship the beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Say, wow, you know, if I saw somebody making fire come down from heaven like Elisha did, man, that would make a believer out of me. Not just to remind you that Elisha called down fire from God. And technology the way it is today, you can call down fire from heaven without having access to God. Have you heard of drones and rockets and things of that nature? But he's going to make fire come down from heaven. You might not see the source. You might not recognize the source. You might not be able to see where it's coming from, and the world might be in awe. Just a reminder from last week and weeks previous, a strong delusion. People will be made to believe a lie, and it is just hard to dismiss something you've seen with your own eyes. He made fire come down from God out of heaven. But it is not by his power. I would guess it's by technology. verse 14, notice the deception, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. So they're going to think, wow, it's a miracle. He's got great power. He's got a power from out of this universe, but it is not going to be that kind of power. It is going to be a deceptive miracle, which makes it appear that he had power, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by the sword and did live. making an image, interesting phrase there. Verse 15, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And you look at verse 15 and you go, if I saw an image and all of a sudden that image started talking, why, that would make a believer out of me. I'll just say, when I first heard this scripture preached, it was hard for me to imagine how in the world any of this could come to pass. Now it's God's word, so I believed it. Then in early, mid-70s, I would have been 12, 11, 13, 14 years of age. I would have been sitting under my dad's ministry and listening to him expound upon these passages of scripture. And I remember when he talking about a cashless society, that was just hard for me to envision. Is it hard for you to envision today? A lifelike creatures, images, all kinds of robotics that are out there, facial coverings, and it's not just in Hollywood movies, I'll just say Android type. Technology that is out there, for lack of a better description, and it is that kind of technology is just growing and leaps and bounds and faster. So for today, I look at this and I think, wow, I can see this happening today with the technology that we have. 1970s, we didn't have this kind of technology. For instance, 1984, I had a friend. He was a principal of a school, and Sears Roebuck Company was having a sale on Commodore 64 computers. And he wanted me to go in financially with him because he was going to buy 100 of them, and he was going to resell them for make an astounding profit. And I looked at him, and I said, nothing will ever replace the IBM Selectric 3. So don't follow me in the stock market. I'm not going to be a help to you. Are we way beyond that today? We are. Wait a minute. How many of you have no idea what an IBM Selectric 3 is? Oh, look, you have got, really? Wow. Man, now I am feeling the age bug. Where are we? Going back to the scripture. Had power to give life into the image of the beast, that the beast should both speak and cause that as many, cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. That's a motivator. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts this evening. And again, as we look at this passage of Scripture, things that are to happen in the future, may we understand and be reminded that these are not to satisfy our curiosity. These are not given so that we can say, I know something you don't know. These are written that those of us who know Jesus Christ as their Savior, knowing the wrath that is to come, that we would encourage others to flee that wrath. May we be so minded this evening as we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I have a tickle in my throat. False prophet is identified here in chapter 13, not as to his identity. Everybody likes to guess identity. Country of origin, his nationality, is not mentioned. But his characteristics are mentioned. Again, two horns like a lamb. He will be lamb-like, but his speech will be revealing. Like the Antichrist, he is going to be energized by Satan himself, a religious leader. And again, this is really sad because it turns off people to the gospel message. When you see someone on, let's say, TV, televangelist, oh boy, they are just smooth-talking, silver-tongued, almost angelic creatures. And then after years go by, they're exposed. And you can go to your web browser this evening and do big televangelist church scandals, and all the names will come up, and it'll show the absolutely wicked and deplorable things that they did. But on their face, they are lamb-like. But in their speech, in their personality, in their lifestyle, they are more satanic-like. And the false prophet is going to be the Antichrist's helper. Again, satanic power, forced of a one-world government. A lot of talk today about crypto coin and cryptocurrency and those types of things. Government thinks they're going to take over everything and make it better. The government doesn't make everything better. Fairfax County's talking about taking over trash service. Like, really, you can't even run the schools? You can't even pick up my trash? This is not going to be a good thing. But the government always thinks that they are the answer, that more government, more power, taking more away from the people, more freedom away from the people is going to make the people happier and better. And this is on an exponential scale. Chapter 13, verse 13, and he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Look at verse 3. And there appeared another wonder. Wonders in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. Look at chapter 15, chapter 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign. I've seen wonders, now here's a sign. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Chapter 16, verse 14. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Keep your finger here in Revelation chapter 13 and go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That doesn't look right. That's Corinthians. Let me turn a few pages over. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's start at verse 7. So we would testify this is going on in the world. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Signs and lying wonders. Interesting. The signs and wonders movement of today, people are drawn to it. I was attending a finance seminar many years ago, and the fellow that was teaching it was a lawyer, and he was from the charismatic signs and wonders movement. And he was talking about, and this is what he said. He said, you Baptists in the room that don't believe in healing, you just stay sick. He said, but for the rest of you, let me talk to you about a little liability. He said, Sister Jones comes up. He's a real charismatic kind of lawyer. He said, Sister Jones comes up, and you got 2 burly deacons back there, and you're going to slay her in the spirit. You're going to take your hand, you're going to smack her in the head, and she's going to fall backwards. And those 2 big burly deacons, they're supposed to catch her, but they miss. And you're going to get sued. So maybe you should... So he's talking about liability, how to minimize liability. So maybe I'm thinking, if you believe in healing, and the big two burly deacons miss her, and she hits the floor and gets hurt, you should just heal her again, right? No, it didn't work that way. So I'm just going to stay sick. But what people are drawn to that. They want to see something, even if it's deceptive and deceiving, and not honest. They just want to see that. And this is on an exponential scale in the tribulation period. So the sign and wonders movement of today, the charismatic, the Pentecostals, the thrill seekers, the tongues movement. We want to see something. We want to experience something. We want to have some kind of a feeling inside. We want to be excited. Just be careful, because these religious movements, the sign and wonders movement, is what is the hallmark of the Antichrist and the false prophet. I just showed you those six references in Revelation, this one in 2 Thessalonians, that is talking about that Revelation tribulation time period. The signs and lying wonders movement of today is just preparing people for the Antichrist and the false prophet. They're going to build an image. We saw that in Revelation chapter 13. They're going to build an image. Verse 15, had power to give life unto the image. So you think about cultures that have built images. Pharaohs. You go to the book of Daniel and you've got Nebuchadnezzar. He had a dream. And Daniel interpreted that dream, and he saw an image, and Daniel said, "You're the head of gold." The image has implications, that is what is going to come out through the world. Daniel is so accurate that people that study the book of Daniel, when it comes to government and world governments, that were in the future from when he is writing, they say this, Bible unbelievers, Daniel is so accurate as to what governments are coming in the future that it could not have been written by Daniel in the year that Daniel lived. It had to be written by someone else after all these events took place, and he was writing in hindsight, looking in the rear. That's how accurate that Daniel is. But here's Nebuchadnezzar. He has this dream, and instead of saying, "God has revealed to me what the governments are going to be in the future," he says, "Build me an image, and I'm the head of gold." He really liked that. "And you'll bow, when I play the music, you will bow down and worship it, or you will be thrown into a furnace of fire." And of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, they refused to bow down and worship the beast, and they were thrown that very hour into a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that is going to save you out of my hand? But then his whole demeanor changed. "Did not we throw three men bound into the furnace? Yea, I see four, and the likeness of the fourth is as the Son of God." His whole demeanor changed. I just say, the building of images is... Now, I understand the world does it. You can go over into Washington, D.C., and you can go in the Lincoln Memorial, and you can see an image of Lincoln. And you can go into the Jefferson Memorial, and you can see Jefferson. They got images everywhere. I mean, people have a tendency to do that. When the world does that, it really doesn't bother me. But when Baptist preachers do that, it bothers me. You say, Baptist preachers haven't done that. Yeah, they have. They send out collections. Would you send out a collection? I'm going to build a bronze statue of myself out in the courtyard, and I'm taking donations, and you can buy a brick, and you can have this bronze... Now, you can go have your picture taken with a bronze statue of some Baptist ministers that have made images to themselves. I'm just telling you, I don't want to do anything or be associated with anything that has a semblance to the Antichrist. So I'm not going to be part of the signs and wonders movement. You're not going to see the preacher speak in tongue. The most you might hear me say is uno, dos, cuatro. that's the most of tongues you're ever going to hear me say. And most of you would know that's one, two, four. Yeah, I skipped three. We have a Spanish speaker back there, you know. But I don't want to be a part of that. And when I pass off the scene, do not make an image to me out in the lobby. Because it's possible to come back. I'd come back and haunt you. I really would. I don't want that. Why? Pharaoh did that. Nebuchadnezzar did that. I just don't think Baptist preachers should be doing that. And worship the image of the beast. That is, the image of the beast is mentioned 10 times in Revelation, 4 times in Revelation chapter 13, just verses 14 and 15. But the image of the beast is the center of false worship. So again, imagine this image. All the resources, financial resources of the world are able to manufacture this image that all of a sudden the image speaks. And eyes blink and the mouth moves and people go, whoa. But again, the technology is absolutely out there today. And it's just going to get better and better. The false prophet, he is identified, not by name, but by characteristic. I do not want to be associated with those characteristics, and neither should you. The false prophet and forced worship. So I don't want to be identified with false worship either, forced worship either. We mentioned Sunday, the Roman Catholic Church forcing worship down in Mexico. But Baptists not really caught up into that. Baptists seem to be getting caught up into Calvinism. Calvinism seems to be making a resurgence. What did John Calvin do? Forced worship. You either worshiped or you died. Worship or you got put out. Worship or you burned at the stake. I mean, he was just brutal when it came to persecuting people. I'm just telling you that I don't want to be associated with anything that is characteristic of the Antichrist. And killing other people is characteristic of the Antichrist, false prophet, Satan himself. Life, a life or spirit or death or breath. Energized by Satan. I wrote in my notes, a robot, artificial intelligence, but regardless, under demonic control. The word another is used in verse 11. Another beast, which means what? Another of like kind. So he is going to be like the Antichrist in... Now, the Antichrist is going to be brutal in how he takes control of the world. That's just the way he is. The false prophet is going to have the appearance of the Lamb being meek and mild, but again, he's going to have that same power, that same drive to cause people, to force people to worship. Islam is another one that forces people to worship. Again, that is a sign of satanic empowerment. Nebuchadnezzar, going back to the book of Daniel, it is not the first time in history that that has taken place. Revelation tells us it will not be the last time. Keep your finger here in Revelation chapter 13. Go forward with me to Revelation chapter 20. What will happen to people that come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior that refuse to worship the beast? Beheading will be the norm of the day. Verse 4 of Revelation 20, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls. This is John speaking, looking into the future. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Again, that satanic tendency to kill people. There's another satanic tendency that I do not want to be associated with, and I'll just say, that is marking of the body, tattoos. It seems to be just a rampant in our society, and just everywhere you go, everybody's got them. And I don't want to be associated with that. Why? Because that is going to be, he's going to cause that. You're not going to have any choice. I'm not into tattoos. You will be here. Cause as many as would not worship the beast, the image, should be killed. He causeth all, verse 16, causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And verse 17, without that mark, you're not eating, you're not buying, you're not selling, you're not getting gain. But that's not a new thing, getting a mark, getting tattooed, going all the way back to the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter, the 28th verse. The children of Israel were warned, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. We're not to do it. A mark. What God has, a mark. Satan has a counterfeit. So we have the unholy Trinity. In the Trinity, and we know what that is, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And whatever God has, Satan has a counterfeit. And so here in Revelation chapter 13, you're introduced to Satan's holy Trinity. Satan, the assemblance of God the Father, the Antichrist, God the Son, the false prophet, the Holy Spirit associated with worship. And so you have the God's Trinity, you have Satan's Trinity, and again, that is not a surprise to anybody who knows Satan, his desire, his design. He likes to duplicate, doesn't seem to have a unique idea of his own. They say, well, preacher, I'm just going to hide. No one will be able to track me. Do you have a cell phone? We know where you are. It amazed me back in the 1980s when a farmer would go out to the field and get a soil sample. I remember my father-in-law. He was saying, you know, I went out and got this soil sample and I marked it. And I took it in to be analyzed, and I could come back within a 3-meter. This is 1980s. He said I could go into that same 3-meter section of ground and go right to the exact spot I got that by the computer, by the coordinates. The computer would direct me right back to that spot. And so here we are. If I want to find out where Mrs. Bishop is, I open up my phone and say, where are you? And sometimes it's got her like 3 days ago where she was, but sometimes it tells me where she is. But I don't have a high technology phone. But I'm just saying you can be tracked. You can be tracked by your phone. You can be tracked by your car. when Gwen was alive, we would joke that I'm driving the Antichrist car. It's a 2019. But it knows where I am. It knows what I'm doing. And every once in a while, Gwen would say something that was, how shall we say, political. He was in the car and he was talking about, one of the presidents at the time being the Antichrist, and the little light in the center of the car turned on. I'm just telling you that he looked at that and I looked at that and I said, the car is listening to us, so you better be careful what you say. And he went, let's get out of the car. This is the Antichrist car. But just the technology is there. And that was 2019. Here we are several years later. The technology is just getting better and better. You have an easy pass, they know who you are. So I have friends that have an easy pass. They don't want the government to know where they are. So when they are not on a tow road, they take the easy pass and they wrap it in tinfoil. So the signal can't get out. And you can say, oh, they probably have their living room wrapped in tinfoil too. No, I don't think they do. But I'm just telling you, for the people that say I'm going to hide and nobody's going to find me, cell phones, easy pass, Waze, computers, GPS, the Ring doorbell, you're just really easy to track. From a law enforcement perspective, I find the technology really interesting. The stuff they had going on in New York when the insurance tech was killed, and boy, they saw him on different cameras, knew what direction he went, knew what kind of scooter he had, knew where he dropped that scooter, and then they tracked him down. And you don't think Antichrist is going to be able to track you down? That's scary stuff. What should we do? Man, flee the wrath to come. And we should be warning others to do the same. What is the number of his name? Coming down to the end for this evening, 666. Here is wisdom. It is the number of man. Now, there are lots of speculation. And you can get into... I'm not into this. Some of you are. Pastor, did you see? You take this name and you plug it in and it comes out 666. Listen. What about all the names that don't come out to 666? I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of taking numbers and letters and assigning values to try to find some hidden mathematical meaning in the text. So, Pastor, what's the significance of 666 to you then? It's the number of man. What's the number of God? 7. Doesn't matter whether it's Satan himself, the Antichrist, or the false prophet. They all have the number of man, which is 6, and they all fall short of God. On his best day, and this is Satan's best day, he still, in his face, he falls short of God, falls short of God's perfection, falls short of God's power. He's able to do things by simulation, by a drone firing a rocket to call down fire from heaven. Nobody sees or hears the drone, but all of a sudden, this is destroyed. I'll destroy you now! And that rocket, poof, poof, and we go, whoa! To make a beast out of technology that can speak. But on his best day, he is just what he has always been, and that's a deceiver. He is not God. He does not have God's power. He is not going to be victorious in the end. And if you are aligning with the Antichrist, you are aligning with the losing team. You are aligning with someone who has and always will fall short of the perfection of God. And his number is 666. The Antichrist, the beast of Antichrist, the false prophet, the beast of the false prophet, energized by Satan. The solution is salvation. Government is never going to solve the world's problems. When I heard Fairfax County say that they were going to take trash service away from us, they're going to tell us who we had to have for trash service, I thought, you should drive up Wilton Road in the fall. You have trash service, Fairfax County? You're supposed to pick up leaves on Wilton Road, and you don't get them picked up. Pick up your own leaves. They're not going to solve the world problem. Government's not going to solve the world problem. Satan's not going to solve the world's problem. God is the answer. It was a logical choice for me as a 19-year-old young man presented with this truth. Question still remains, what would you do with Jesus Christ? Bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for the testimony. I thank you for the accuracy of it. We see that in the book of Daniel. It gives us confidence that the book of Revelation will be revealed with the same accuracy as Daniel. But what a powerful price to pay if your salvation is rejected now. Father, I pray for that person who is listening by way of technology, maybe at a later date, who does not know you as their Savior, that they would flee the wrath to come. They would embrace your goodness, your grace, your salvation, and receive the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ. Not through the Antichrist, not through the beast, not through the prophet, not through Satan himself, but through Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you and praise you for your salvation and your grace throughout all eternity. In Christ's name, amen.